Actually, that's the subtitle or the subconcept of the actual title of the book, which is The Host and the Parasite. The Host and the Parasite, How Israel Smith Column Consumed America. That's Greg Felton. He's the author of that book. That is a Dandelion Books publication. The title, again, is The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. Greg Felton will be with us in about 1 hour from now. There are a series of news items in corporate media which don't have a lot of importance for us today. We are told by CNN.com that the Democrats have clashed on Iraq. When we read the things said by Edwards and Clinton and Obama, it's quite clear that there's a lot of positioning here that has absolutely nothing to do with the reality of the situation or what any of these people would do if actually elected as president of the United States. It makes you think that maybe the lead story today is one of the other posts of CNN, entitled New Champ Stuffs Gut with 59.5 Hot Dogs. That's possibly more important than what the Democrats said on Iraq yesterday on television. So when we start looking at real news items today that we can find in non-traditional media, two things come up in particular that are worth our time. The first is Alexander Cockburn's piece found at Counterpunch, the last of the Texas outsiders, talking about Ron Paul. And interestingly enough, when you go to Counterpunch to find this piece, you'll see that they are saying that the Democrats bow to Bush on the war, how the anti-war movement has failed. Isn't this an interesting thing that they recognize, quite honestly, what is going on with the Democratic Party when it comes to the Iraq War? And I think Counterpunch would agree with us here at RBN that basically what was said yesterday by the Democratic candidates in the so-called presidential debate on television is nothing more than window dressing. The fact of the matter is that John Edwards, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton are representative of the same corporate interests as the so-called top tier of the Republican Party presidential contenders, Giuliani and McCain and Romney. And when it comes to the Israeli lobby, you can throw a blanket over all six of them. Therefore, we turn to Alexander Cockburn's piece today for Counterpunch entitled Ron Paul versus the Throng, the Last of the Texas Outsiders. Cockburn goes on to say that put together Murdoch's Fox News, a mid-May debate between Republican presidential candidates in the state of South Carolina, and you have a hotbed of stupidity. But in the fury of the Republican, to the fury of the Republican organizers, there was an intrusion of rational thought in the person of Ron Paul, a U.S. congressman from Texas, classed as a rank outsider in the nomination race. Texas used to send true individualists to Washington, D.C. One of the brightest moments of my early years, says Cockburn, visiting the nation's capital, was watching Representative Wright Patman, the head of the House Banking Committee, tell the red-faced chairman of the Federal Reserve that he deserved to be locked up in the penitentiary. Paul is the last of the breed. As a small government, tight-money Republican, this gynecologist obstetrician regularly votes no on pork bill projects that would put money into his own district. But as a Republican in the isolationist libertarian tradition, he also votes no, sometimes alone among the 535 members of the U.S. Congress on war funding, on laws allowing U.S. presidents to order arbitrary imprisonment, coercive interrogation, and suspension of freedoms guaranteed by the Constitution. The throng in Columbia cheered Giuliani, Romney, and the others as they roared their support for torture and rule by emergency decree. In the war on terror, anything goes. Only Ron Paul told the crowd and the TV cameras that, no, torture is wrong, and the Constitution is paramount. Paul was asked if 9/11 changed anything. U.S. foreign policy, he answered, was a major contributing factor. Have you ever read the reasons they attacked us? They attacked us because we've been over there. We've been bombing Iraq for 10 years. We've been in the Middle East. So right now we're building an embassy in Iraq that's bigger than the Vatican. We're building 14 permanent bases. What would we say here if China was doing this in our country or in the Gulf of Mexico? We would be objecting. Next came the question, had the U.S. invited the attacks? Ron Paul said, quote, I'm suggesting that we listen to the people who attacked us and the reason they did it, and they are delighted that we're over there because Osama bin Laden has said, I'm so glad you're over on our sand because we can target you so much easier, unquote. We'll be back with Alexander Cockburn's piece for Counterpunch entitled The Last of the Texas Outsiders, talking about Ron Paul. Greg Felton will join us in 1 hour. Stay tuned. This is Mark Ancos, America on RBN.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, Documents, plural.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Back. This is Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton will join us this morning at right around 8 o'clock Central Time. He is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. That is a Dandelion Books publication, by the way. You can find Dandelion Books at www.dandelionbooks.net. That's www.dandelionbooks.net. Carol Adler of Tempe, Arizona, is the president of Dandelion Books, puts out a lot of interesting volumes. One of the alternative publishing companies in America who's trying to do the same thing that we're doing here at RBN, the same thing that our friends at the American Free Press are trying to do, and that is to put a good product out that does not have the imprimatur of corporate America attached to it. Carol Adler, among other things, is the publisher of Gordon Thomas's Seeds of Fire, which you can also find at Dandelion Books. So there you have it. Greg Felton will be on at 8 o'clock this morning, the host and the parasite, how Israel's fifth column consumed America. We then can go back to what Alexander Cockburn is saying this morning at Counterpunch, talking about Ron Paul is the last of the Texas outsiders. Cockburn, of course, is refreshing our memories, among other things, in regard to the character of the exchange the other night between Rudolph Giuliani and Ron Paul. Rudolph Giuliani saw his chance, continuing with Cockburn here, quote, "That's an extraordinary statement. As someone who lived through the attack of September 11th, that we invited the attack because we were attacking Iraq. I don't think I've heard that before, and I've heard some pretty absurd explanations for September the 11th, unquote. There were howls of approval for Giuliani, though in fact Paul hadn't said anything about an invitation. In the post-debate commentaries, Giuliani was hailed for his coup and Paul ridiculed as a nut and an apologist for terror. There were demands he be thrown out of upcoming presidential debates. But even as Fox pundits tossed Paul on their horns, the instant poll totted up the numbers. Of the 40,000 viewers expressing an opinion, 29% reckoned that Massachusetts Governor and Mormon Mitt Romney had done best. Second came Ron Paul with 25%, ahead of Giuliani with 19%. The most pro-war of the lot, McCain, got 5%. This is the second time Paul has scored big in such debates, and it points to a potential crisis of credibility for both the Republican and Democratic parties. A majority of Americans, 65% and up, hate the war in Iraq and think the U.S. troops should leave. But the leading candidates from both parties fence straddle at best and also parrot Giuliani on the so-called war on terror. Hence the popularity of Ron Paul as soon as he gets a national venue. The same happened to a Democratic outsider, Mike Gravel, even as his party votes Bush the money to go on fighting the war. There's a good deal of evidence that to win Congress or the White House, the Republicans need to hold the libertarian undecided bloc overwhelmingly anti-war, which defected to the Democrats last November. So with every saber-rattling speech to Republican zealots, the major Republican candidates seal their party's fate next year. Paul will probably have dropped out by then, but he's already made his point, just like another presidential outsider did back in the Vietnam years, Dr. Benjamin Spock. Like Paul, a career baby deliverer. We await the Ron Paul guide to baby rearing, including hands-on lessons on how to bury gold in the front garden. Ron's a sound money man. It's basically what Alexander Cockburn has to say to us today about the last of the Texas outsiders, Ron Paul. He is clearly the only game in town, folks, in regard to major presidential candidates. Support him to the extent that you can. And keep him in the race as long as we can. Because clearly, as long as Ron Paul's ideas continue to be brought forth in all of these major debate venues, there will be a ray of hope that something in terms of a sound money policy, something in terms of an America First foreign policy might continue to be presented to the American people as a clear contrast and alternative to the kind of garbage that we're getting from the Democratic candidates, as we saw yesterday on television, those of you who watched it, and as we are continuing to get from Rudolph Giuliani and John McCain and Mitt Romney. Speaking of which, in a little bit this morning, I might say something about John McCain. Someone was asking me about him yesterday at lunch. I preached at a Lutheran church yesterday in San Antonio. Afterwards, there were a few of us having lunch at a restaurant on the South Side. And the conversation turned to matters political. And the individual in question asked me about John McCain. What do I think of John McCain? There is a very interesting chapter on this gentleman, which you can find at Michael Collins Piper's book, The New Jerusalem, Zionist Power in America. That's put out, of course, by our friends at the American Free Press. There is a chapter in the book entitled The Bronfman Gang, the Royal Family of American Jewry. Sam and Edgar Bronfman are the individuals in question. They are in turn described as the godfathers to both Al Capone and John McCain. That is a most fascinating, fascinating bit of information that you can find at Michael Collins Piper's book, The New Jerusalem, Zionist Power in America. And as you read through this account, the first few pages of that specific chapter discuss Al Capone and his relationship to the Bronfman family. Getting to about page 51 at the bottom, you will discover that Piper is telling us that of particular interest is the fact that the Bronfman influence has taken root in all kinds of different states and locales. Of particular interest in that regard is the hidden influence, Michael Collins Piper says, of the Bronfman family in the state of Arizona, an outpost viewed in the minds of most Americans as somehow a paradise of cowboys, cactus, and wide open spaces, a conservative stronghold independent of the corruption and intrigue found in the big cities like New York, Miami, Chicago, and Los Angeles. In fact, Arizona ranks right up alongside the great crime capitals, and that most unpleasant status can be traced directly to the influence in Arizona of the Bronfman family. Bronfman family influence in Arizona is so strong that it can be rightly said that the Bronfmans are no less than the godfathers behind the political career of America's best-known reformer, Arizona Senator John McCain. Here, according to Michael Collins Piper, is the story. You can find this story in this chapter of the Bronfman Gang, the Royal Family of American Jewry, and that's at Michael Collins Piper's The New Jerusalem, Zionist Power in America. Here's the story, folks. In 1976, a crusading Phoenix reporter, Don Bolus, was murdered by a car bomb after writing a series of stories exposing the organized crime connections of a wide-ranging number of well-known figures in Arizona, including one Jim Hensley. 5 years later, honest John McCain arrived in Arizona as the new husband of Hensley's daughter, Cindy. Quote, from the moment McCain landed in Phoenix, according to Charles Lewis of the Center for Public Integrity, the Hensleys were key sponsors of his political career, unquote. But the fact is, the people behind the Hensley fortune are even more interesting and controversial. While it's well known that McCain's father-in-law is the owner of the biggest Anheuser-Busch beer distributor in Arizona, one of the largest in the nation, the mainstream media has had nothing to say about the origins of the Hensley fortune that financed McCain's rise to power. The Hensley fortune is no more than a regional offshoot of the big-time bootlegging and rackets empire of the Bronfman dynasty. McCain's father-in-law got his start as a top henchman of one Kemper Marley, who for some 40 years until his death in 1990 at age 84 was the undisputed behind-the-scenes political boss of Arizona. But Marley was much more than a machine politician. In fact, he was also the Lansky Crime Syndicate's top man in Arizona, the protege of Lansky Lieutenant Phoenix gambler Gus Greenbaum. In 1941, Greenbaum had set up the Transamerica Publishing and News Service, which operated a national wire service for bookmakers. In 1946, Greenbaum turned over the day-to-day operations to Marley, while Greenbaum focused on building up Meyer Lansky-run casinos in Las Vegas, commuting there from his home in Phoenix. Greenbaum, in fact, was so integral to the Lansky empire that he was the one who took command of Lansky's Las Vegas interests in 1947 after Lansky ordered the execution of his own longtime friend Benjamin Bugsy Siegel for skimming mob profits from the New Flamingo Casino. Greenbaum and his wife were murdered in a mob hit in 1948, their throats cut. The murder set off a series of gangland wars in Phoenix, but Marley survived and prospered. During this time, Marley was building up a liquor distribution monopoly in Arizona. According to Marley's longtime PR man, Al Lizaninitz, it was the Bronfman family that set up Marley in the liquor business. In 1948, some 52 of Marley's employees, including Jim Hensley, went to jail on federal liquor violations, but not Marley. The story in Arizona is that Jim Hensley took the fall for Marley, and upon his release from prison, Marley paid back Hensley's loyalty by setting him up in the beer distribution business. That beer company today is said to be worth some $200 million, is what largely financed John McCain's political career. The support from the Bronfman-Marley-Hensley network was integral to McCain's rise to power. This is what Michael Collins Piper tells us in The New Jerusalem, Zionist Power in America. Look for it in his chapter entitled The Bronfman Gang, The Royal Family of American Jewry. Mark Gankoff will be back from San Antonio on RBN.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E. Documents, plural.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Mark Hancock's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America, will be with us at right around 8 o'clock this morning. The Host and the Parasite is a Dandelion Books publication. You can find Dandelion Books at www.dandelionbooks.net. Been talking a little bit this morning about John McCain. After church yesterday, I'm in a restaurant in South San Antonio. Somebody's asking me over lunch about John McCain, wanted to know all about him, as well as some of the other presidential contenders. We centered on McCain because of some of the things that are in Michael Collins Piper's book, The New Jerusalem, Zionist power in America. And you know, the interesting thing is that the person I was talking to is reflexively anti-Hillary Clinton. Now, you know, that's a pretty good reflex to have, I think, because I'm reflexively anti-Hillary Clinton, too, for a variety of reasons, most of which would be shared, I would assume, by 99% of the people who would listen to this network. We would be rehashing a lot of old information to get into all of the reasons, legitimate reasons, why we don't particularly care for Mrs. Clinton. But the long and the short of it is that when one is reflexively anti-Hillary Clinton and is looking for an alternative to her, either in the Democratic or Republican Party, when it comes to the real powers that be politically in the United States, Hillary Clinton is being run by the same people who are running Edwards and Obama in the Democratic Party, clearly the same people running Giuliani and Mitt Romney in the Republican Party. And when we look at John McCain, what needs to be underscored this morning, that the fingerprints of the Israeli lobby are all over John McCain, just as they're all over the other so-called major tier candidates that we've been speaking about on this show. And this is where Michael Collins Piper's book comes in, The New Jerusalem, Zionist Power in America. This chapter on the Bronfman Gang, the royal family of American Jewry, dealing with Sam and Edgar Bronfman. They are, as Mike describes it, the godfathers to Al Capone and John McCain. Quite clear that when we look at Mr. McCain, his arrival in the state of Arizona results in a circumstance where he becomes connected, of course, to Cindy Hensley, marries Cindy Hensley. Her father, Jim Hensley, is connected not simply to the Anheuser-Busch beer distribution operation in Arizona, but in turn, when we go back into the history of Jim Hensley, we see, in fact, that he, in turn, was built up in his more establishment front business by the Bronfman dynasty, and that the Bronfman dynasty had very, very interesting connections to a gambler in Phoenix by the name of Gus Greenbaum, who was a protege of Meyer Lansky. Isn't this interesting, folks, to take a look at this whole situation? And when you look at it, Jim Hensley, his connection to John McCain, underscores, I think, who the real forces are ultimately behind Mr. Cain's rise to prominence in the United States Senate, as well as his continued description as a so-called upper-tier candidate in the Republican Party presidential sweepstakes. But the connection to Hensley is significant not simply because of the connection to Bronfman, but there's something else here that Michael Collins Piper talks about in this book. McCain's father-in-law had also dabbled, according to Piper, in the dog racing business, and he expanded his family fortune further by selling his dog racing track to an individual connected to the M-Prize Corporation, run by the Buffalo-based Jacobs family. The Jacobs family were the leading distributors for Bronfman liquor smuggled into the United States during Prohibition, and controlled the spigot of Bronfman liquor into the hands of local gangs that were part of the Lansky crime syndicate. Expanding over the years, buying up horse and dog racing tracks and developing food and drink concessions at sports stadiums, the Jacobs family's enterprises were once described as being, quote, probably the biggest quasi-legitimate cover for organized crime's money laundering in the United States, unquote. While John McCain himself cannot be held personally responsible for the sins of his father-in-law, the fact is that this so-called reformer owes his political and financial fortunes to the good graces of the biggest names in organized crime. Perhaps it is no wonder that today the Las Vegas gambling industry is among McCain's primary financial benefactors. This brief overview is really just the tip of the iceberg, but it does say much about McCain and the political milieu that spawned him, particularly in light of McCain's frontline position as one of Israel's leading congressional water carriers. And you know, when Michael Collins Piper talks, he speaks with great authority. And if you look at this chapter in the New Jerusalem, Zionist Power in America, you discover something else, that as Michael goes on in this chapter to talk about McCain's other connections, these connections have something to do with Mike Piper's thesis as to who and what it was that was behind the assassination of John F. Kennedy in Piper's book, Final Judgment. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live on the Republic Broadcasting Network from San Antonio. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Back. This is Mark Dankos coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton is going to be with us in about a half an hour from now. He is the author of The Host and the Parasite. The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Destroyed America. It is a Dandelion Books publication. Greg Felton will be with us in about half an hour to discuss that book for the 2 hours that follow. And I think you'll discover that it's very, very important information. If you're not familiar with Dandelion Books, you can find it at www.dandelionbooks.net. Carol Adler is the president of Dandelion Books and puts out a lot of very, very interesting and very fine literary publications of all types. as yet another alternative to what you can find in what is much of corporate America-controlled publications. That gets back not only to the Republic Broadcasting Network, it gets back to our fine friends at the American Free Press. Where else but AFP can you find the kind of information that I was reading to you today out of Michael Collins Piper's book, The New Jerusalem? You're not likely to find it anywhere else but in the American Free Press and in the Barnes Review. The American Free Press, of course, has published Michael Collins Piper's book, The New Jerusalem, Zionist Power in America. You can order AFP at 1-888-699-NEWS. That's 1-888-699-NEWS. The new edition of the American Free Press will have Mark Glenn's firsthand account of the Israeli murder of 34 servicemen on the USS Liberty. That's brand new. And I believe it's probably on the American Free Press website by now. That's the latest from Mark Glenn that's going to be in AFP this week. I'm going to have a piece for AFP this coming week that I've already talked about on the show, and that is my Memorial Day essay. Memorial Day from San Antonio, the final resting place of Marquis J. McCants, the final resting place of Marquis J. McCants and the death of the American Republic. That's the title of the op-ed, and it's going to be in AFP this week. I hope you get a chance to read it. If you're already a subscriber, you will. If you are not yet a subscriber, call 1-888-699-NEWS. I'll be telling you a little bit later on this morning about how much more we need your support at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Absolutely essential that we continue to have your support if we are going to continue to fight the good fight on your behalf. I see what we're doing here at RBN as part of a triumvirate, by the way, that involves RBN, that involves AFP, the American Free Press, and that involves the candidacy of Ron Paul. If you and your friends and family members out there, wherever you happen to be listening this morning, can get behind these three efforts, and I mean seriously get behind them, folks, we might see an impact in this coming 12 months beyond anything that we could possibly have imagined. But you know, there's only one way we can do it, and that is if you help us as God directs, and I'll say a little bit more about that later this morning. Getting back then to what we've been talking about, Michael Collins Piper, I think, has given us the real connections and the real story behind John McCain. The media has been very upfront with the fact that John McCain's political fortunes have come via his wife, or more accurately, via McCain's father-in-law, who is the biggest Anheuser-Busch beer distributor in Arizona. But that's as far as they go, folks. That's as far as the mainstream media takes this. They don't tell you that behind Jim Hensley, the biggest Anheuser-Busch beer distributor in Arizona, stands the Bronfman dynasty. The Bronfman dynasty, described by Michael Collins Piper, is the royal family of American Jewry. Up until very recently, of course, Edgar Bronfman, the reigning patriarch, was the longtime head of the World Jewish Congress. As far back as 1978, Michael Collins Piper tells us that Peter Newman, the Bronfman family biographer, writing in the Bronfman Dynasty, chronicles that the estimated aggregate assets held by the various branches of the Bronfman family totaled $7 billion almost 30 years ago. Almost 30 years ago. Who knows what it is now? But the Bronfmans stand ultimately behind McCain's father-in-law's rise to power in Arizona as the biggest Anheuser-Busch beer distributor. The connections of the Bronfmans to Phoenix gambler Gus Greenbaum, the late Gus Greenbaum, are chronicled here, and to Meyer Lansky, the head of the Jewish Crime Syndicate. All of that is floating around in Mr. McCain's background, and as Piper puts it, this all might explain why today the Las Vegas gambling industry is among Mr. McCain's primary financial benefactors. Behind Mr. McCain stands the Buffalo-based Jacobs family. These guys were the leading distributors for Bronfman liquor smuggled into the U.S. during Prohibition. They controlled the spigot of Bronfman liquor into the hands of local gangs that were part of the Meyer Lansky crime syndicate. And, of course, this Jacobs family of Buffalo, has their enterprises have once been described as being, quote, probably the biggest quasi-legitimate cover for organized crimes, money laundering in the United States, unquote. All of these sorts of money trails and associations are behind John McCain, folks. And I think perhaps the most important point for today's discussion, particularly before Greg Felton comes on, is that these kinds of connections accentuate why it might be that McCain has a frontline position as one of Israel's leading congressional water carriers, according to Michael Collins Piper. And when we dig even further, we discover that Meyer Lansky and Sam Bronfman have connections to people that Michael Collins Piper, in his book Final Judgment, links to the assassination of John Kennedy. Sam Bronfman's longtime henchman, Louis Bloomfield, chairman of the Mossad-sponsored Permandex Corporation, which included among its directors the infamous New Orleans businessman Clay Shaw, who was indicted by former New Orleans District Attorney Jim Garrison for involvement in JFK's assassination. There's also new evidence, according to Mike Piper, that Dallas mob figure Jack Ruby, the executioner of Lee Harvey Oswald, was actually on the Bronfman payroll. That's an interesting fact, isn't it? There was another Bronfman associate in Dallas, oilman Jack Crichton, who hovered around Lee Harvey Oswald's widow after the JFK assassination. And another Bronfman functionary, super lawyer John McCloy, served on the Warren Commission. McCloy was a director, and Crichton served as a vice president of the Empire Trust, a financial combine controlled in part by the Bronfman family. And isn't it interesting, according to Mike Piper, as you continue reading in this chapter, that Sam Bronfman is best known for his connection to the Seagram's liquor empire. But what mainstream media has not told us is that he was also a Texas oil baron, having purchased Texas Pacific Oil in 1963. As far back as 1949, Alan Dulles, later the CIA director fired by JFK and also a Warren Commission member, served as an attorney involved in the private business ventures of Sam Bronfman's daughter, Phyllis. The list just goes on and on, folks. And when you look at these connections, the spider web of connections, both moneyed and political, it becomes very apparent that John McCain, if one studies him in detail, according to what Mike Piper has told us today at the New Jerusalem Zionist Power in America, we will discover some very uncomfortable truths that may well, in fact, explain why Michael Collins Piper is so on target when he sees John McCain as a microcosm of a much larger problem with the American political process, and why it might be that McCain and Giuliani and Romney, all of whom are in the back pocket of the Israeli lobby, particularly McCain and Giuliani, might be continually put forth by corporate Zionist-controlled news media as the upper-tier candidates, presidential candidates in the Republican Party, while Ron Paul doesn't even get an honorable mention. And when you look at the polls taken after these first two televised Republican presidential debates, Ron Paul has come out as the ultimate winner of those debates. And when you look at why he has not been given subsequent fair coverage in the mainstream corporate press, it begs the question as to why. Why is this, folks? I think it's absolutely clear. Absolutely clear that this has something to do with who and what it is that finances corporate media in America. And it seems to me that the Bronfman connection to John McCain's father-in-law, Jim Hensley, who is an Anheuser-Busch beer distributor in Arizona, that the Bronfman connection to Jim Hensley and the Bronfman connection to the Jacobs family of Buffalo and the Bronfman connection to Meyer Lansky and to Gus Greenbaum, all of that floats around in the background, doesn't it, in regard to the way that people suddenly become top-tier Republican and Democrat major party presidential candidates. This is sordid information. It's also accurate information, as Michael Collins Piper brings it to us this morning. And it causes us, again, at the Republic Broadcasting Network, to suggest to all of you that we need to look for deeper explanations in regard to what has gone wrong in this country, And as we look at those deeper explanations, we need to be very, very clear about one thing, and that is that the real story in media is virtually never what is out there on the surface. You've got to dig for the deeper explanation. And to the extent that you dig for the deeper explanation, you need the sources that can help you find the information that leads to the deeper analysis and the deeper conclusions. That's the Republic Broadcasting Network. That's the American Free Press. And quite clearly, I think, in this presidential election year that we're approaching, it's the political candidacy of Ron Paul. More smoke on the horizon this morning in the Middle East War Theater. Take a look at globalresearch.ca. Mani Darius Nazimroya has a very, very important essay there on this subject. It underscores the truth of what Pat Buchanan was saying the other day at lewrockwell.com and at WorldNet Daily. Now Mani Darius Nazimroya is underscoring this in globalresearch.ca today. The march to war in the Middle East, according to Nazimroya, is well underway. Outgoing Prime Minister Tony Blair has said that diplomacy is the best way forward with Iran, but appends his statements by saying that he cannot, quote, absolutely predict every set of circumstances, unquote, which means that war cannot be ruled out. In this regard, Gordon Brown is no different. The man scheduled to be the next British Prime Minister, once Tony Blair steps down, has refused to rule out war against Iran and its allies. The war dossiers against Iran and Syria, the last two bastions of independence in the Middle East, are being built. General Wesley Clark, the former Supreme Allied Commander of NATO in Europe, has confirmed that the White House has been plotting a course based on a major military roadmap in the Middle East, Central Asia, and East Africa that would start in Afghanistan and Iraq and end with Iran. General Clark has stated that after Afghanistan, seven additional nations were on the Pentagon's list to be attacked and invaded over a five-year period. Those seven are Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finally Iran. The geographic boundaries for these wars all fall within the military jurisdiction of the United States Central Command, or CENTCOM. This five-year period began with the invasion of Iraq in mid-2003, and if the American former Supreme Allied Commander of NATO in Europe is correct, it should end approximately in mid-2008, or the last war could be initiated by this point in time. It should be noted that the second presidential term of George W. Bush ends in January of 2009. Is it possible that in 2001, when the Pentagon outlined this military roadmap, that the re-election of Mr. Bush to a second term in office in 2005 had already been envisaged in relation to these war plans? General Franks, the former commander of CENTCOM, in a late 2003 interview, said that he believed that another crisis for the United States could in effect result in the suspension of the American Constitution and the establishment in the United States of a military form of government. Quoting General Franks, "The free world loses what it cherishes most, and that is freedom and liberty we've seen for a couple of hundred years in this grand experiment that we call democracy." Now, in a practical sense, what does that mean? It means the potential of a weapon of mass destruction and a terrorist, massive casualty-producing event somewhere in the Western world, it may be in the United States of America, that causes our population to question our own Constitution and to begin to militarize our country in order to avoid a repeat of another mass casualty-producing event, such as 9/11 or even a global crisis, which in fact then begins to potentially unravel the fabric of our Constitution, unquote. Quoting General Franks in this article today by Mani Darius Nazimroya for Global Research. Mani then goes on to say that the use of a discretionary executive and presidential power in the hands of the White House is slated to take place during a period of national crisis. The National Security Agency eavesdropping controversy that arose after 2001 demonstrates some of the capabilities of the Bush administration in regard to the use of executive powers under the pretext of wartime or emergency measures. At present, the American president has decided to exercise only a few of his emergency powers. Under the National Emergencies Act, the White House has only utilized provisions relating to the military and U.S. national security. The White House can exploit extraordinary powers that suspend civil liberties and can even challenge the American Constitution. because of the uncertain and the shifting shape of the global war on terror that is continually being redefined, a moment may arise when a constitutional dictatorship is declared to ensure the continuity of government. Moreover, the mechanisms have been put in place in the United States to allow for the hypothetical extension of the presidential term of George Bush, or allow Vice President Cheney to become U.S. president in the context of a wartime or emergency situation. This eventuality could occur should a major international war be launched in the Middle East, which is what a war against Iran and Syria would effectively create. National Security Presidential Directive 51 and Homeland Security Presidential Directive 20 would precisely justify such an action. A worldwide crisis of unpredictable consequences would occur if such a war were to be launched and Iran were to close the Straits of Hormuz. With the advent of a war against Syria and Iran, a volatile Pandora's box would be opened, and there would be a complete breakdown of international relations and the existing global world order. The Guardian, one of Britain's most influential newspapers, has released a controversial article claiming that Iran has planned a secret summer offensive to drive U.S. troops out of Iraq for 2007. There are fresh attempts underway to link al-Qaeda to Tehran once again, similarly as the attempts to link al-Qaeda to the late Saddam Hussein and his Iraqi government. The Associated Press, also concurrently in step with The Guardian and other major information outlets, released an account of Iranian plans to attack the European continent. Fact or fiction and spin, folks? We'll be back with this article by Mahdi Darius Nasrallah from globalresearch.ca. Greg Felton will then be on in approximately 10 minutes to discuss his new book, The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. Mark Dankoff will be back on RBN. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free 866-222-3017 or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Mark Antonoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton, the author of the new book, The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Destroyed America, will be with us at just a little bit after 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time. That book by Greg Felton is a Dandelion Books publication. Carol Adler of Tempe, Arizona, is the president of Dandelion Books. You can find that company online at www.dandelionbooks.net, I believe. It's that time in the show, folks, to ask you to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. I can't begin to tell you how important it is that you support this network if you can possibly do it. Support us with your gifts to the extent that your resources enable you to do that. I would ask you at the same time to tell your family members and friends, whatever network of contacts you have, to listen to this network and to support it. The only way that we can continue to do the things that we do is if you help us. You can contact us in one of three ways. You can come to us online at www.republicbroadcasting.org and donate via PayPal. That's again www.republicbroadcasting.org. You can also give us a call at our toll-free number, 1-800-724-2719. Prior to 6 p.m., ask for extension 116. Prior to 6 p.m., ask for extension 116. After 6 p.m., Central Time, ask for extension 115. That's after 6 p.m. Central. And give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. You can also contact us via U.S. Mail. That's the Republic Broadcasting Network, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That's 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can also have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by using those same three contact points to reach the Republic Broadcasting Network. Online at www.republicbroadcasting.org, via telephone at 1-800-724-2719 or via U.S. Mail at Republic Broadcasting Network, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You know, getting back just for a moment before the next commercial break to this Nazim Royal article for globalresearch.ca today, it becomes very, very clear that something is happening, that in fact General Franks would seem to affirm and to reaffirm that there is a very specific and targeted strategy that involves not simply a doctrine of preemptive military attack against certain powers in both the Middle East and Central Asia, but there's also something else that maybe is even more disturbing, folks, that Nazim Royal gets into today with this essay at globalresearch.ca, and that is the way in which there is media disinformation taking place on the so-called Iran threat. Nazim Royal begins to talk about it in terms of The Guardian and secondarily with the Associated Press. And both of those outlets have tried to link in recent times al-Qaeda to Tehran in the same way that they earlier were linking al-Qaeda to the late Saddam Hussein and his Iraq.